is a blessing. So in Deuteronomy 11 tonight, God, through Moses, is again encouraging his people as they're about to go into the promised land, warning them and also encouraging them that it is their land. So the promised land, we've talked about it a lot, haven't we, in the past 2 years. Give me one reason. We'll make it open for him for a minute. One reason, and then we'll maybe ask for another one. Why the promised land cannot represent heaven? Just give me one. Anybody? Jackie?
Because they had to do battle, and they don't have to do battle in heaven.
Right. It's because they had to fight for their land, didn't they? They had to go in and fight. It was their land, but they had to fight for every piece of land, except for Jericho, of course, which God brought them walls down, kind of an introductory. But after that, they had to fight. We don't have to fight for heaven, do we? There's no fighting to get into heaven. It's a gift. Can anybody think of a second reason? That would be the main reason, but a second reason why the promised land of Israel doesn't represent heaven. Beryl. Good, very good. The promised land is Jewish. Amen? We're not Jews. So there's another good reason that the promised land, though it is representative of something that we can draw from and learn from, if it represented heaven, it wouldn't fit because it was a Jewish land, still is a Jewish land, isn't it? Was there any others? Was that what you were going to say, Christine?
I was going to say because Moses might have gone.
Because what?
Because Moses disobeyed, because of his sin, like he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, but I thought that was also part of it, that he smote the rocks, which he was not supposed to do.
But that's a very good point. If it represented heaven, why would Moses, of all people, the meekest man on the earth, a man whom God loved, not be allowed to go in? That would mean if it pictured heaven, then Moses wasn't allowed to go to heaven because he sinned, right? And he was not allowed to go into the promised land because he smote the rock twice instead of speaking to the rock, remember, the second time, which destroyed the illustration of the rock being Jesus Christ providing the living water and only had to be smitten once at Calvary, amen. After that, to speak to the rock, but he was angry with the people for a good reason, lost his temper, smote it twice, and God said, because of that, you can't go in. Well, if it represented heaven, that doesn't fit very well, does it? Being banned from heaven for sinning. That means none of us could go to heaven. So there's at least three reasons. There's many more as to why this land cannot represent heaven. Even though, if you read carefully, many of our hymns imply that we're going to cross the Jordan River into heaven, don't they? And that's because, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when people were writing hymns, most preachers got up and likened the promised land to heaven. And so people wrote hymns about it, about us going across the Jordan River into heaven. And it's in many of our hymns. And we'll let it go. But it's just what's happened. But anyway, I'm glad we got that established because he's going to talk more tonight about the land, which if we're going to pull from that and make it a practical Christian living lesson, has to represent what God wants for all of us, which is to live a victorious Christian life, which we do have to fight for. Verse 10, for the land. So this is all about land. Whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, wherein thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land, so there it is again, but the land, whether you go in to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh the water of the rain of heaven. A land, so three verses in a row, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them diligently, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I've set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. So a land God careth for. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts to continue to teach us about what you want for us in our lives. Lord, that we would draw from this things that could help us be faithful and to serve you and to avoid the chastisement that you talk about. So have your will and guide us in your truth tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, what does Egypt represent? Anybody? The world. Exactly. God pulled us out of the world, didn't he? And he pulled Israel out of Egypt. And he says, the land you're about to go into and possess is not as Egypt. Amen? I want you to go to a new land. I want you to forget that land that I pulled you out of. I want you to leave it in your past. Amen? And I'm going to give you a new land, a promised land. And so we know Egypt pictures the world. God says this is different. This is not the world. This is not Egypt. God says that we're not to be a friend of the world, doesn't it, in James chapter 4, verse 4. So he says, but this land is a special land. Not only special because I promised it to you, but it's special because back in Bible days, it was very luscious. How do we know this? Look at it. The land which God careth for, it says it's a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Now, let's see. Is it just the sharps in here that have visited Israel? It's kind of deserty in some places, isn't it? And so it's not really what this is describing, is it? So what happened? 2,000 years of not getting the rain God promised. That's what happened. Actually, 3,000 years of them not getting the rain that God promised has turned the promised land into mostly desert. Isn't that something? So God here is even using the rain to show us something, isn't he? He says, this is the land I'm going to care for, but it was contingent, which is again why it cannot represent heaven. Heaven is not contingent upon our behavior. Hallelujah. But they're entering the land and being blessed. Once they're in the land with the former and the latter rain was 100% contingent upon their behavior. Verse 13, three things. It shall come to pass if, there's the key word, if you, number one, hearken to my commandments, which I command you this day. Number two, to love the Lord thy God. And then number three, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So yes, it's a wonderful land. It's currently a very luscious land. Remember, they called it the land of milk and honey. They came back 40 years earlier with the figs that were so heavy they had to carry them on their shoulder. They said it's a beautiful land. It's full of fruits. Now it's mostly desert. It says, and that's going to be your land, and I'm going to keep giving you the rain that you need so that things will be luscious and your cattle will have plenty of grass to eat. But it's contingent. Hearken, love, and serve. Well, these are three things God still wants of us, aren't they? He wants us to hearken to his commandments, to obey them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants us to love the Lord thy God, Mark 12:30, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And as we talked this morning, he wants us to serve him. We are his servants. And he wants us to put into practice the gifts that he's given us, the talents, to use them for him. If you will do these three things, hearken, love, and serve, verse 14, what will he do? I will give your land rain. For things to grow, well, they only really need two things, don't they? And you know, both of those two things picture the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things are sun and water, right? The sun and water. Photosynthesis, we all know this. I mean, you need some soil too. But again, if it's a place that gets plenty of rain, then the soil's better. If it's a desert, a different story. It's so contingent upon the sun and the rain. Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness in Malachi chapter 4. Jesus is called the water of life. So, if for our life to be fruitful, we need the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, and we need the water of life. Amen? And so that's what this rain pictures. He says, the first rain and the latter rain. In other words, I'm even going to control the weather based upon your behavior. And we often don't talk enough about the weather and how God uses it to teach us lessons, but think back to Noah's Ark. I'm going to give you a rainbow to teach you something, right? That comes from the weather. So God promises that he will give them the first rain and the latter rain, but it's an if. And what will it give you? Corn, wine, oil, grass for thy cattle. All that's contingent upon getting enough rain. And look at Ezekiel 34, 26. We'll see where we get one of our hymns. Of all places, Ezekiel chapter 34 gives us one of our most well-known hymns. You're all going to look at it and say, wow, I didn't know that was in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. The hymn writer got that from Ezekiel. Showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. Picturing the blessings with the rain. 3,000 years later, it's mostly a desert. Same land. So, back to our passage, verse 16. Take heed. I've given you now exactly what it's going to take. I've given you the if-then statement. If you'll hearken, love, and serve, I'll give you the former rain, or the first rain and the latter rain. I'll give you all the rain your land needs, and that will translate into more grass for your cattle. Your everything that you plant for food will be more fruitful and grow better, and everything just flows from that. But take heed, because I'll withdraw that rain. Verse 16, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. What will happen? Verse 17, and the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and look how it will be displayed, and shut up the heaven that there be no rain. There's that rain again. So I'm going to give you the first rain, I'm going to give you the latter rain, if. So let's bring that down to the Christian life. We can't be fruitful without the water of life. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We got to have water to bear fruit. And that water is Jesus, isn't it? We got to have the Son to bear fruit. But he says, if you turn aside, if you serve other gods, what's he going to do but withhold the rain? So he wants them to keep an eye on that rain, because that's going to be God's stamp of approval or God's curse, as we'll see. And what does it say? The lamb will not yield her fruit, and you will perish quickly. Well, if there's nothing to eat, it's much harder to live there, isn't there? Isn't it? If God continues to hold back the rain, then it won't be a land of milk and honey anymore. We get to the New Testament, and John says in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. You know, we might sit back and say, oh, I'd never worship other gods, but anything that we put before God becomes an idol. And maybe there's just too many Christians out there. God's withholding the rain. He's withholding his blessings, waiting for them to what? To hearken and to love and to serve, so he can give them the first and the latter rain so they can be fruitful. It always comes down, these blessings of fruitfulness, that does come down to our behavior. Then he gives a fourth preventative medicine. So these are the things you have to do to get the rain. You got to hearken, love, and serve. He says, let me give you some preventative medicine. No surprise, verse 18, God's word. Amen. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words. In other words, let me give you some preventative medicine so you don't, verse 16, turn aside from the hearkening and the loving and the serving. Let me give you some preventative medicine, my words. Amen. That's still true today, isn't it? Best preventative medicine from turning aside from where God wants us to be is his word. What does he want us to do with it? Put it in your heart. Amen. And in your soul. And as a sign upon your hand. And as frontless between your eyes. And teach them to your children. And talk about them when you sit in your house. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down. And when thou risest up. Let me give you some preventative medicine from turning aside my words. Amen. It's still true today for you and I. These words, God's words, are our preventative medicine, which means we need to expose ourselves to it as much as we can. Amen. Read it every day, to memorize it, to meditate in it, to study it, to be in church whenever we can, to hear it preach. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God says, let me give you some preventative medicine, my words. Now, we all know what happened. Israel didn't do this, did they? They did not take heed to God's word, and they did turn aside, and God did withhold the rain. God did bring in other nations to, again, take them captive and to give them trouble through the whole book of Judges. But he says, if you will do these things, if you will keep the word before you, let it guide you and protect you from turning aside, such that you will hearken and love and serve, what will happen? Verse 21, your days will be multiplied. Amen. And the days of your children, the land, there's that land again, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven and upon earth. I mean, just think about it from Israel's perspective. How long did they have to wait from when God promised that land until they actually got to go in? Think about how many centuries that was. From when God made that initial promise to Abraham to give them that land until they finally get to go in. They've been waiting all this time. And what do they do but go in and immediately start disobeying God? After waiting so long, they go in and start disobeying. He says, but if you will obey, if you will hearken, love, and serve, and keep my words before you, look what I will do. I'll multiply your days of your children in the land which I swore to your fathers. Verse 22, if you shall diligently keep these commandments, which command you to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, to cleave unto them. Verse 23, then I will drive out these nations. These nations are representative of things in our lives that need driven out. There's always another thing that the Holy Spirit needs to drive out of our lives, isn't there? There's always that other sin that hasn't been dealt with completely yet. Otherwise, we'd be perfect. So God says, I'll drive that out. I'll drive them out one nation at a time. And you'll possess greater nations and mightier victory, a victorious Christian life. Everywhere their feet shall tread will be yours. What beautiful promises. Verse 25, no man will be able to stand before you. You will have victory. Amen? Which is what God wants for all of us. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. We could go on and on. God wants us to live a victorious life. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Psalm 118:6. Look at Isaiah 54:17. But the blessings, the former or the first and the latter rain, even for us, is dependent upon our behavior. We must hearken, love, and serve. We must continue to have that preventative medicine of the Word of God in our lives constantly so that we don't turn aside. And if we do those things, you know what God will do? He'll keep pouring those showers of blessings on our Christian lives. Isaiah 54:17, he said, no man will stand before you. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Isn't that the heritage that we all want? Victory. No weapon, no tongue can conquer us. And this is what God's promising Israel. If they will go in and hearken, love, and serve, and not turn aside. What shall we then say to these things? Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? So, he says, I've laid it out. Verse 26. Here it is. I have set before you a blessing and a curse. It's dependent upon what you choose to do, Israel. You can go in and you can hearken and you can serve and you can love. And you can keep those words before you to keep you on the right path. Or you can turn aside, serve other gods. Your choice. It's the same for us, isn't it? It's our choice. God gave us a free will. Heaven's our home. But while our time on earth, it's up to us. He sets before us a blessing and a curse. A blessing if we will hearken, love, and serve. A curse if we turn aside and not obey and not love and not serve. The curse of, for us, chastisement. Amen? Which he talks about. 1 Corinthians 11, if you turn there quickly, verse 31. Now, God's going to repeat this in detail for us when we get to the end of Deuteronomy, around chapter 28 to 30. He's going to actually detail the blessing and the curse for them. Some of the longest chapters in the Bible are the details of the blessings and the curses. But for us, if we choose disobedience, if we choose not to hearken, love, and serve, and keep the word before us and we turn aside. What's our curse? It's not to be cast into hell. Hallelujah. But verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Chastisement. God promises, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, Hebrews 12:6. God chastens and scourges every one of his children. So this is pretty clear, isn't it? You're about to go in. And I'm going to use the rain, the water of life, as your litmus test, if you will, of whether or not you're living obediently and serving and following me, or whether or not you've turned aside. Just keep an eye on your crops, on the grass. If it starts turning into a desert, you know you got a problem. Amen. And for us as Christians, if our Christian life starts turning into a desert, we've got a serious problem. It means that we are not hearkening and obeying and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what God wants for every one of us. And he sets before us a blessing and a curse. The blessing, verse 27, if you obey. The curse, if you will not obey. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that you're very much fruit. He wants us to be that fruitful Christian. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So the land, the promised land, the victorious Christian life, is a land that God cares for. It's a land that he wants for each of us. And he wants to pour out the rain with the water of life. He wants us to be fruitful. But it comes down to us, just like it came down to them. Heaven's our home, the promised land. That's up to us. Whether we enjoy the first and the latter rain, or whether it turns into a desert, that depends on us. If we will hearken and love and serve, keep the word before us, there shall be showers of blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great lesson from Israel. And I pray, Lord, that we would not follow their example, but instead we would hearken, we would love, we would serve, we would keep the word before us. Lord, that we might enjoy that first and latter rain in our Christian lives and be fruitful for thee, and bear much fruit. And I pray, Lord, if that not be the case, if we're in the desert, that we would sort that out with you. Lord, that we might enjoy the blessing and not the curse. Thank you for teaching us this. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much.